Welcome to Common Space, a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY, bringing you true personal stories about the pressing issues of our time. I'm your host, Jamie J. Now, we're all busy people, but even in the midst of a hectic daily schedule, running errands, responding to emails, finding time to stand up for issues you believe in is important, especially in today's political climate. So what can you do? Attend a march or a protest? Write a letter to your senator? Just in the last year, tech developers have created programs and apps that make becoming politically engaged much easier. So whether you're a seasoned activist or newly woke, your voice can be heard by the decision makers. Associate producer Ali L'Esperance sat down with Amanda Pfeiffer O'Brien, a business owner and frequent First Person Arts storyteller, to talk about how Amanda uses technology to let her opinions be known to local representatives.
When I first sat down with Amanda Pfeiffer O'Brien, she told me she's been politically active since she was just a little girl.
My mom is a Detroit public school teacher and was for my entire life that I lived at their home. And I used to walk the picket line with her when the teacher contracts were up for renewal.
So a politically charged fire runs deep in her blood. But she said it wasn't until Donald Trump was elected president that she got serious, like elite-level activist serious. That's the level she's at according to ResistBot, which is a program she uses to keep in touch with her elected officials on a daily basis.
It's actually a service where you text a number, 50409, the word resist, and then the bot texts you back and asks you questions about yourself. So it will ask you for your name, it will ask you for your address, and then it allows you to contact your senators, congresspeople, governors, whatever it is, by text, and it will send your text as a fax. It formats it very nicely, and then it faxes it to them. As you use the app more and more, you unlock more features. So at the beginning, I believe you can only contact all of your congresspeople. And then as you use it more and more, you're able to contact individual members, you're able to contact the governor, as I said, and you have options to call directly through ResistBot, fax, or send a physical letter. It will also, if you've written something really long, sometimes it will take a look at it and say, hey, we have editors on staff that would maybe submit this to a paper as a letter to the editor. Do you want this letter to be reviewed for that? So yeah, it has kind of a lot of different features that make it really easy for the lazy person to be a little bit active or at least let our senators and congresspeople know that we're unhappy or happy with how they're voting.
So what level have you gotten to?
As far as I know, I'm at the elite, the most elite level. It doesn't take much. It's really not. It's not to say that I'm a super activist or anything. Really, with just a few interactions. I mean, during the entire healthcare debate, I was sending faxes to Senator Toomey every single day. I also use it to compliment senators because I would like them to know that we're happy with how they're voting, too. They need to know that they have support and that we're going to show up for them when they're up for re-election if they vote the way that their, you know, constituents want them to vote.
Maybe it seems like a lot to muster up a well-researched and well-written note to your senator or congressperson every single day. But Amanda says that her system really only takes a few minutes with the help of a second app. Here's her process.
So there's another app called Five Calls. That's an app that you can just call through, but it gives you kind of the layout of the current issues that the Senate or any part of Congress is facing, and it kind of gives you the bullet points so that you and resources to do further research on your own. So generally, I look at that in the morning. I pick an issue that I'm going to contact my congressperson or senators about. And I kind of use that as the guidelines for doing my research for the day. Now, this isn't something that I put an hour every day into. It's something I put 5 minutes every day into. But I will say over the months, I started out just writing on these really hot button issues. So I would write about something like healthcare, something like the Muslim ban, but I wouldn't necessarily dig down into further nitty gritty details. But with the help of Five Calls, I've started to kind of pick a different issue every day just to make sure I'm getting in touch with them every day. And yeah, I will be definitely more specific because I have a lot of easy resources to do quick research on.
Have you ever received any responses back to your letters or your faxes?
Yes, I do get letters back from Senator Toomey periodically. I find them generally infuriating. They usually say nothing or they say something that's made up, in my view. So it's not the most satisfying piece of mail to get. It actually usually makes me pretty angry.
Does it seem like a form letter?
Oh, definitely a form letter, yeah. I mean, I don't have any illusions. I don't think that these are being carefully pored over and that any of my criticisms are being taken to heart by the senator. But on one hand, it's important for me to vent. It makes me feel better when I can actually say to the person who's doing the voting, hey, this is not something that we agree with as your constituents. But on the other hand, I know they have a little checklist, right? They're saying, like, this many constituents called and said they're against this. So I do think it's important to, like, get my name added to that checklist in the no column for certain things. But, yeah, they're definitely responding with a form letter. And I would be very surprised if anybody has given any in-depth thought to anything that I've sent them.
So do you use ResistBot more out of convenience, or do you think that it is a more productive way to get in touch with your elected officials?
It's definitely convenient, and I did start using it when it was just impossible to get through on the phone. I used to call Senator Toomey's office like 15 times a day, and I would just get a busy signal or get sent to a full voicemail box. And that's very unsatisfying because you're putting a lot of time in and you're not even getting that little checked box saying this constituent is against. So that's when I started using ResistBot. Now I will say, yeah, it's much more convenient for me to do that. That's not to say that I don't call. I definitely call sometimes and do ResistBot or just call instead. But I do find ResistBot to be much more convenient and kind of easy and low contact. You know you're not going to get in an argument with somebody on the other end or have them tell you blatant lies to your face, which can also be pretty frustrating. So I think ResistBot makes that possible. It makes those daily little kind of lazy person acts of resistance work out. But I still do, like I said, I still go to protests. I still, when I go to Tuesdays with Toomey, for instance, I bring a letter with me that gets taken right into Senator Toomey's office. And I still will write letters. I still make phone calls, especially as like an important vote is approaching, but definitely not with the frequency that I use ResistBot.
So you say lazy person's acts of resistance, and I think that's a funny turn of phrase. Are you familiar with hashtag activism or slacktivism? And if you are, like, what is your opinion on those terms?
I actually don't know that. I have not heard about that. That's pretty funny. Okay. I have a complicated relationship with my own, like, in quotes, activism, because I'm not out there every day. I don't feel like I'm putting my life on the line. I've never been arrested or put myself in a position where I knew I could be arrested. So I think a lot of people who are doing that kind of hardcore heavy lifting in the activist community would probably look at what I'm doing and say, like, you're not doing much. But it feels good to me to do what I'm doing. And I also know with the lifestyle that I lead, running my own business, and just being busy, everybody's busy, right? This is still a way that I can engage with them, and it's also a way that connects me to kind of the greater activist community where I'm informed if something comes up that actually needs a physical body someplace. Like, I know that I can take my body to that place at that time, in part because I'm staying up to date on these issues through things like ResistBot and Five Calls. So I don't know exactly what slacktivism is. I'm guessing it's people like me who do like a minimal amount of activism-related activities. But I would rather have that any day than the people who aren't paying attention and aren't doing anything.
Do you think that as technology is changing, and I mean, obviously we live in a time of huge technological advancements, but people have been protesting for a really long time. Do you think that with the current technology, we as a society are better activists, or do you think that we are maybe more distracted?
Yeah, personally, I do think people are more distracted. I think the impact of a physical person showing up at a place is really important. And I think if we think that signing a petition online or changing our Facebook filter is enough, that we're deluding ourselves. I don't think that's convincing any senators to change their vote or scaring any congresspeople away from, you know, a decision that might not be in favor of their constituents. Also, having said that, I think people are more afraid of people now in general. Like, a lot of people don't like to talk on the phone and don't like to, like, meet strangers in public. And this might not be an exact answer to your question, but I feel like part of what protesting has done for me is, like, erased that. Like, I'm a very extroverted person, and I had kind of gotten to a point where, like, when the phone would ring, I'd be like, who dares to call me? Like, I'm going to answer this phone call from this unknown number. And now I feel like it's good. It's really good to connect with other people, and it's good to be physically in a place, especially when you're hurting or when you're afraid. You go to these events and you feel all the other people that care, and you see people. Sometimes I'm protesting stuff that is never going to affect me, ever. Like, not the life that I live. It's never going to affect me, but I know how many other people it's going to affect, and being face-to-face with those people, for me, is a really important way to stay motivated and know that I need to show up on their behalf, because they're not always going to be able to. And sometimes, you know, we're a lot louder when we're there as a large group as opposed to just, you know, a smaller group that might be directly affected by something.
But what happens when your Facebook event inbox is flooded with 4 different political events or protests each day? Sure, the internet is the ultimate tool for getting the word out and organizing protests. But if the breadth of options in a given week is too large, does that take away from the overall effectiveness? Amanda doesn't think so.
I think a lot of people have already experienced the kind of burnout that it was expected. I think the Trump campaign and the Trump people expected that people were going to be really loud at first. Women's March was insane. And then they were going to get bored, you know, be distracted and kind of lose their focus. And that happened to me as well, because I was going to everything. I had stuff, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week, protests on the weekends. And I hit the point where I was like, I can't think about this every minute. Like, I have a company, I have stuff that I have to do, and feeling a lot of guilt associated with that. So something that's helped me more recently to stay focused is to kind of have my specific things that I do. So there are things that I know that I'm pretty good at, that I'm interested in, that I can stay engaged with and focused on, and I focus my attention on those things. I still get the Facebook invites for everything else, so if, you know, something comes up and I want to go to a gerrymandering talk, then that's great, but I have my things that I know I feel responsible to attend and responsible to learn about, and then everything else I kind of say, like, that can be somebody else's purview. And that's worked out really well for me. So I do think it's important that there's a wide variety of issues, because there's a wide variety of different types of protesters, and it's good for everybody to have their niche to work in, so we don't all just get completely overwhelmed, because there's so much wrong and so much to fight. So yeah, I'm glad of that.
The biggest takeaway I learned from talking with Amanda?
Do anything, like anything. Send an email to your senator, make a phone call to your congressperson, show up for Tuesdays with Toomey. Look on Facebook to see what your friends are doing. I'm sure if you can find one person that's going to something and go with them, that will make it more fun for them. And it's always easier to meet other people when you're already there with somebody. But again, like, kind of my mantra is, like, doing something is always going to be better than doing nothing. So whatever you can do, kick it off.
That was Allie Lesforance and Amanda Pfeiffer O'Brien talking about ResistBot. You've been listening to Common Space, a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY, and it's been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. This month on Common Space, we're hearing stories about pivotal moments where maybe everything changed and storytellers decided to take a stand. You can find that episode by subscribing to Common Space on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm your host, Jamie J. This episode has been written and produced by associate producer Allie Lesperance. Naomi Starobin is our executive producer. Our engineer is Al Banks. Thank you for listening.